Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon from River Ridge Church in North Mankato, Minnesota. Our prayer is that the Lord would be blessed to use this sermon for His glory and the good of His people. If you have any questions or comments, you can send an email to office@riverridgecato.org. May you be blessed in Jesus.
To be together this evening, to have again opportunity to reflect upon the sufferings of Jesus and the cross where He hung to die. If you were with us last Sunday morning, you likely recall us taking time to talk about the Passover. And there's a reminder here because there's a connection between the Passover of the Old Testament and what we call Good Friday. In the Old Testament account of the Exodus, we know that God spared His people from the 10th plague. This, of course, was the plague that resulted in the death of the firstborn in every home. So God instructed every family of those who would belong to Him. He instructed every family to take a lamb without blemish or spot and to slaughter that lamb. And then to take the blood from the slaughter of the lamb and spread it over the doorposts of their home so that when the angel of death moved about throughout the land, he would see the blood that was on the doorposts. And because of that slaughtered blood's lamb, he would pass over the home. The home would be protected from the death of the firstborn. Now, while this event in Exodus really did happen and rescued real people from bondage into freedom, the historical event known as the Passover, we know, ultimately pointed to something so much greater. You see, the blood of the Passover points us, even this evening, to the blood of the cross. The blood of the cross that rescues us from the place of bondage, rescues us from the place of death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we are told that Jesus is, in fact, our Passover lamb who has been sacrificed. And Peter, in 1 Peter 1:19, calls Jesus the lamb without blemish. You see, tonight we are gathering together to remember the suffering and death of Jesus on our behalf, because without the cross of Christ, we know that we are those who are under a death sentence. In Colossians 2:13 and also in Ephesians chapter 2, we are reminded that apart from Jesus, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. But we also recognize what John the Baptist so emphatically declared, that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the one who died in the place of sinners like you and I. He is the one who provides forever forgiveness and eternal life. See, over 2,000 years ago, or around that number, we know that Jesus came and took on human flesh, according to Philippians 2, verse 7. And this is an absolutely remarkable truth for us to dwell on when we just pause for a second and give it thought. The Bible says in Philippians 2 that Jesus did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant or taking the form of a slave. And what this means is that Jesus willingly, temporarily set aside heaven's glory to enter into the mess of humanity. But ultimately, we know that Jesus, the second person of the triune Godhead, he became man. He took on human flesh for the primary purpose of coming into the world to die for sin. In Philippians 2, verse 8, it tells us that Jesus was obedient to the point of death, even death upon a cross. This was his mission. That's why he came, to bear our sin, to suffer and die in our place, to, like a sponge soaking up water, Jesus came to soak up the wrath of God in our place, the wrath that we deserve. The word for this is propitiation. Now think about this evening. God became man to bear wrath, divine wrath, for us. Because of our sins, because of our rebellion, because of our transgression. Well, this is almost unfathomable. And we wonder, maybe, how could it be true? Well, but it is true. And that's the remarkable thing. It is true. Jesus came to serve us through his suffering. And that's what we remember this evening. When Jesus hung on that cross, what he was ultimately doing was revealing the love of God. The love of God. God demonstrated his own love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Now, according to the gospel accounts, we know that Jesus spoke 7 times while he hung on the cross to die. And with each phrase that was uttered from the lips of our Savior, I believe that we are stirred up to experience the weight of the moment, the weight of the cross. But to not only experience the weight of the cross this evening, we also have opportunity, as we reflect upon the sayings of the Savior, to experience the blessing of the moment, the blessing that we receive. So my hope this evening is that we would hear the words of Jesus Christ and simply be in awe, that we would be in awe at the work of the Savior on our behalf, that we would remember well the love of God at the cross of Jesus Christ. So what I want to do this evening is very briefly reflect upon the words of Jesus as he hung to die in our place. We'll cover it in 5 categories, 7 sayings in 5 categories. The first one has to do with agony. At the cross of Jesus Christ, we see agony. In Matthew 27, verse 46, it tells us, at the 9th hour, Jesus cried out from the cross where he would die. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, we have to be honest this evening as we reflect upon this first saying. There's so much mystery here as we attempt to understand what's packed into this statement. I mean, clearly the cross had the weight of intense, like hard for us to understand, intense physical agony. We know that Jesus, prior to the cross, had been brutally flogged. And this is where Jesus was whipped with a whip, as many of us know, that had at the ends of the whip little pieces of bone or metal that were tied at the end so that when the whip cracked on his flesh, it would tear, it would rip. We know from history that many didn't even make it through the flogging process. But Jesus, before he hung to die, was flogged. We know that he was forced to carry his cross to the place of his own execution. We know that nails, and not just nails, because when I think of nails, I think of nails that we build with. More like spikes. Spikes were driven into his hands and his feet. We know that the cross resulted in blood, in pain, in humiliation. It was public in nature. He hung and people watched. People even gawked. But while this is all true, the physicality of the cross wasn't the only source of agony for Jesus. You see, Jesus also experienced a type of spiritual darkness that, again, is hard to put into words. It's hard for us to grasp. In his torment, Jesus was carrying the weight of all our rebellion. Every time we've shaken our fist at the Lord, every time we've willingly sinned against him, he carried it all upon his shoulders. And as he experienced this spiritual agony, he quotes from Psalm 22 to communicate the pain of this mysterious kind of separation. In fact, it's the only time, or one of the few times anyway, that the New Testament records Jesus not addressing God as Father. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Again, it's mysterious, but we know that at the cross there was agony, the agony of spiritual darkness, the agony of sin's weight, and even a type of separation where we know the Father, in a sense, turned his back away. At the cross, we see the agony of Jesus. At the cross, we feel compassion. In Luke 23, verse 34 and verse 43, we know that Jesus, while he was hanging to die, looked on at those who had inflicted so much pain upon him and cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We also know later, he granted the request of a criminal who was dying beside him. The criminal looked over at Jesus and said, on this day, when you enter your kingdom, will you remember me? And Jesus responded to him, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now again, how could this be? I mean, I think if I were in a similar position as Jesus, that I would be crying out for vengeance as I looked upon those who inflicted pain upon me. I mean, if it were us who were hanging on the cross, we wouldn't pray for our enemies to be forgiven. No, we'd be praying for them to be destroyed. We'd be crying out, Father, smite them, do away with them. Yet Jesus, in the most difficult place imaginable, is filled with compassion. You see, at the cross, we're reminded of the great kindness of Jesus extended to us who believe. It's at the cross where Jesus paid it all and washed us as white as snow. It's through the blood of the cross where sin was put to death. Ephesians 1 verse 7 tells us that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. I ran across a video this last week of Alistair Begg, and I'm not sure if it's a recent video or an older video, but it's a video of Alistair Begg, and I would encourage every one of you, if you can, to look it up. But Alistair Begg, in this sermon, describes what it must have been like for the thief. For the thief who was told, today, this day, you will be with me in paradise. And so Alistair Begg puts it like this. He imagines what it must have been like as that thief entered the gates of heaven. As he enters the gates of heaven, he's greeted by angelic beings, and the angelic beings come up to him and they say, look, how did you get here? How did you get into heaven? And the thief responds, I don't know. Well, what do you mean you don't know? Don't you know anything about like the doctrine of justification? What's your view on the millennium? How did you get here? I don't know. Well, I need to go and get my supervisor. And so the angel goes and gets a supervisor angel, and he comes to the thief and he says, look, have you been baptized? I mean, do you know what the things that you need to know? And he says, no, I don't. The angel says, how did you get here? And the thief looks at him and says, man on the middle cross told me I could come. That's compassion. The compassion of the cross. At the cross, we see the agony of the Savior. We feel the compassion of the moment. At the cross, we understand sovereignty. In Luke 23, verse 46, before death, Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. These words remind us that Jesus was not a helpless victim who hung on that cross with no power at all. Jesus wasn't hanging on the cross to die against his will, being forced into something that he didn't want to do. No, Jesus was at the cross as the sovereign God of the universe. He hung to die while simultaneously holding all things together by the word of his power. Jesus didn't have his life taken from him. No, he willingly gave his life. He could have called down armies from heaven to rescue him, but instead, he willingly laid down his life for the sheep. And Jesus said that he would do such a thing in John chapter 10 when he said, I am the good shepherd. I laid down my life for the sheep. No one takes my life from me. See, we see the sovereignty of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus willingly suffered and died that we might be saved. The cross is about God's plan to save being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. At the cross, we see agony. At the cross, we feel compassion. At the cross, we understand sovereignty. And at the cross, we relate with humanity. In John 19, verses 26 through 28, while again experiencing excruciating pain and suffering, we find that Jesus cared enough to see to it that his mom would be cared for. Probably with blood dripping down his face and sweat, in incredible agony, he looked his mother in the eye and said, woman, behold your son. And to the disciple, he said, behold your mother. Again, while experiencing a human death, what we find here is there's human emotion. Jesus cared enough for his mother, his mom, to see to it that she was cared for. Now again, how amazing is this? I mean, Jesus is accomplishing no small things here. I mean, these are massive things that Jesus is doing. We might even say cosmic things, eternal things that Jesus is doing at the cross. Yet, in these moments, he's still aware of the seemingly little things. He's suffering. He's dying. He's bearing the weight of sin. And he cares for his mom. He loves his mom The cross reminds us that Jesus hung to die as a human. Yes, fully God, absolutely. Fully God, but also fully man. He was an earthly son and a friend and a brother. He entered into the human experience. We even see the humanity of Jesus because at the cross, he cried out, I thirst. It's like every one of us know what it is to thirst or to hunger. Jesus entered into the human experience. See, the cross is about God who became a man. At the cross, we see agony. At the cross, we feel compassion. At the cross, we understand sovereignty. At the cross, we relate with his humanity. And finally, at the cross, we grow to trust the Trinity. In John 19, verse 30, we have the climax of this whole event that we remember this evening. The climax of the cross, where Jesus cried out in what I imagine to be a very loud voice, not a mutter under his breath, but a loud voice in John 19, 30. It tells us he cries out, "It is finished." You see, the predetermined plan of the cross had been accomplished. God the Son, Jesus, the second person of the triune Godhead, he accomplished the work. And God the Holy Spirit would work to apply it to hearts through faith. And God the Father is the one who put it all in motion for his own glory. As we hear Jesus say, "It is finished," and we're moved to trust the Trinity, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we're reminded today that this was the perfect plan. The cross cannot be added to. There's no more work to be done. All those years ago, Jesus completed the work through his death. He did it through suffering. He did it through blood. He did it through pain and anguish. So we who believe could cross the great chasm, the great sea from spiritual bondage and slavery to freedom in Christ. Jesus hung to die and suffered as our substitute because of love. 1 John 4, 9, it tells us, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." And this is what makes Good Friday so good. Sin's debt has been paid. As we close this portion of our service, again, may we remember the sacrificial suffering of Jesus our Lord. As we anticipate the resurrection and the empty tomb, may we be filled with gratitude for the good things that God has done for us. May we dwell on the wondrous love of God that is greater far than any tongue or pen could ever tell. The love of God that goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The love of God, so rich and pure, how measureless and strong the love of God displayed at the cross of Christ. This evening, I'd like to close with a prayer from the Valley of Vision. And I often read these, especially as I might prepare for an evening such as this. And so tonight, I want to read a Puritan prayer entitled Calvary's Anthem. I'll read this and I'll pray and the worship team will come forward. Heavenly Father, thou hast led me singing to the cross, where I fling down all my burdens and see them vanish, where my mountains of guilt are leveled to a plain, where my sins disappear, though they are the greatest that exist and are more in number than the grains of fine sand. For there is power in the blood of Calvary to destroy sins more than can be counted, even by one from the choir of heaven. Thou hast given me a hillside spring that washes clear and white, and I go as a sinner to its waters, bathing without hindrance in its crystal streams. At the cross, there is free forgiveness for poor and meek ones, and ample blessings that last forever. The blood of the Lamb is like a great river of infinite grace, with never any diminishing of its fullness, as thirsty ones without number drink of it. O Lord, forever will thy free forgiveness live that was gained on the Mount of Blood. In the midst of a world of pain, it is a subject for praise in every place, a song on earth, an anthem in heaven, its love and virtue knowing no end. I have a longing for the world above where multitudes sing the great song, for my soul was never created to love the dust of earth. Though here my spiritual state is frail and poor, I shall go on singing Calvary's anthem. May I always know that a clean heart full of goodness is more beautiful than the lily, that only a clean heart can sing by night and by day, and that such a heart is mine when I abide at Calvary. Will you pray with me this evening? Father, once again, we thank you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for this opportunity to reflect upon Jesus the Savior, who suffered and died in our place as our perfect substitute. As we certainly anticipate in our hearts the glory of remembering the resurrection, tonight let us reflect upon the blood that was spilled for our redemption. Let us remember the compassion of the cross, the anguish of the cross, the humanity of the cross. Let us remember and let us be filled with gratitude because of the good things that you plan from before the foundation of the world for those who would belong to you through faith. Father, we thank you for tonight, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon from River Ridge Church in North Mankato, Minnesota. Our prayer is that the Lord would be blessed to use this sermon for His glory and the good of His people. If you have any questions or comments, you can send an email to office@riverridgecato.org. May you be blessed in Jesus.